Hey, it's my privilege to be here. 6 months and 1 week after our last service in this building, we are extremely grateful to God that we are back here to worship God. It is so beautiful to gather before a place that God has designated for worship. And we welcome you all. Those from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich and those who are visiting for the first time. We also welcome you if you're watching us from the internet. And wherever you are, we say God bless you. If you're here, we say God bless you. We say the peace of God be with you. We pray that the very presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you. When we say peace be with you, that means the person of the Holy Spirit to be with you, to bring calm, to bring assurances, and to know that God is with you. And if for any reason you wanted to be here and you're not able to join us, I would say peace be to you, wherever in your home. I want you to feel confident that God is with you. And when situation is okay for you to join us, you're most welcome. Well, we keep social distancing here as well. So God be with you. Today, I want to continue, as Alice has already intimated, on the subject, the ultimate protection and redemption. The ultimate protection and redemption. This is the second part of what we started last week. And we are talking about the people of God. We're talking about God and His people. We're talking about the Almighty God and you. We are talking about the story of God being made relevant and coming alive here on this earth. We are talking about your story. This is God's story. In case you are thinking, where am I coming from? 5 years ago, this is where we are. This is God's story. This is your story. This is an amazing and beautiful story. God's story is so beautiful. And this time, the people of Israel had been in Egypt for several hundred years. Joseph had died 400 years on, and the people of God were in bondage. And they were in bondage in a small piece of land called Goshen. And Goshen was about 900 square miles. And imagine crowding 2 to 3 million people in a place not so huge, not even the size of London, crowding that many people there. They felt very crowded. There was trouble in the land. Has God forgotten His people? Is God going to get them out of that place? The answer to the latter question is yes. And the former question is also yes. No, God hasn't forgotten His people, but He's going to deliver them with a great deliverance from where they had been. And I just want you to understand that today, if you feel crowded because of lockdown, crowded not probably not because of space, but crowded because of pressure. Crowded because of anxiety. Crowded because of fear. Crowded because you don't know where you're going. And during the time that we are talking about, the period we're talking about, the people were so crowded to the point that they were actually fighting each other. Do you remember, Moses had to go and separate the fight? Yes. They were so stressed, anxious, burdened, and tired that there was so much infighting. And today I just want you to know that God's story is that, and God's promise to you is that He is coming to take you out of that situation. So when you feel crowded, troubled, and in bondage, remember God hasn't forgotten you. He is going to get you out with great deliverance. During the period, the people of Israel were in bondage, as we said. All hope had been lost. They didn't even know their God anymore. They did not even know their God anymore. Nor his name was even remembered. They couldn't even remember the name of God after being there for, over a little over 400 years. They had gone through so much ups and downs that except for a few people like Moses, who subsequently came to know God, and Joshua, his assistant, and also Caleb, most of them didn't. Let's take a reading from Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. I'm reading from a New American Standard Bible. New American Standard Bible. It said, then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them when they ask me this? This is the point that God's heart was moved, and God had to activate his rescue plan for his people. The people whom God had redeemed, the people whom God had redeemed for himself, his name is upon them because of the pressure, because of the pandemic, because of the lockdown, because of the bondage, because of the situation around their world at the time, they had forgotten God. You see, sometimes when we come under so much pressure, it gets difficult. And unless your faith is so strong, it is very easy for you to forget your God. Sometimes you may not forget, but it's so difficult for you to even pray because it is difficult. Sometimes you don't even have the strength to do that. And that was what was happening in Egypt. They worked so much that when they came home, they were so tired that God was not a priority in their lives. So if God had to activate his rescue plan, there's got to be some clue. Let's look at the first clue. The clue in the plan for God to get people back to him and to restore lives and to reconnect with him was going to be only through the unblemished blood of the Lamb of God. So that you can come back to God through that Lamb, that blood that was shed. So for anyone, the starting point for us to come back to God. So today that as we sat in this room, and today as you are out there listening to me in the world, the plan for you to get back, the clue is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the point that we align ourselves to God. That's the point that we say, God, we are coming home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The other clue, the second clue is this. God will use the avenue of miracles, signs, wonders, praise, worship, and the word of God, that is his commandment, to define the future relationship with him. After they've come to God through the blood, we learned about it through this series, that they had to apply the blood to the doorpost and to the side of their doors, and God will pass over because he will cover you up. They came under God's protection. They came under God's covering. God is ready to get us out of this situation that we find ourselves in our country, in our world. God is ready to get us out. But let's look at the clue. The clue here was that through the avenue of miracles, through the avenue of signs and wonders and praise and worship, and through the avenue of actually reading his word and obeying it, our future relationship is going to be established. So for us to have that relationship to move forward, we have to know that God is going to do miracles, and we should expect miracles. We should expect signs. We should expect wonders. We should begin to praise God. We should begin to worship him, and we begin to connect with his word. And that will define our future relationship. Those who will walk in obedience and in faith will see his miracles to get them out into a good and spacious land. Because God said, look, I have come to rescue you into a good and spacious land. The idea of a good and spacious land is to give you a breather and say, oh God, thank you. I remember when the lockdown was kind of, they started easing it. How amazing for you and me to feel so, ready to breathe again, to get out of our house. I don't know how you felt, but I can assure you, in the first week of the lockdown, I hardly see human being or car walking our street. Everybody was locked out. And when they said you can go out a little bit, it was so refreshing, so amazing. So God today, he said, I'm going to take you out of your situation, wherever you feel you are, into a good and spacious land. But remember, the clue is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember the clue that true signs, wonders, and miracles, and praise and worship, and obedience to his word. The third clue is here, that God was going to accompany them with his presence. A pillar of cloud followed them by day, and his Holy Spirit. A pillar of fire also accompanied them by night. God is going to say, look, I want my presence to be with you. You are going to have God's presence with you. You may not have angelic beings flying behind you with some wings and everything, but God's presence is going to be with you. That is his word. And we've got to believe that. And don't tell me that you don't see God, so you can't believe, but you don't see coronavirus, but you're hiding. So I don't have to argue this anymore. Our God is unseen, but he's working behind the scene on your behalf. And the virus is unseen, but it's going to kill you, but our God is going to deliver you. This is incredible news that we have to. So the third clue for God's deliverance, ultimate deliverance and protection, is that his presence will be with you. His Holy Spirit will be with you. And we saw that in the people of Israel. When God chose and crossed that obstacle in front of them, the Red Sea, we know that God said, you know, you can't just go alone. I have to be with you and protect you. So even as we are going to get out of this pandemic, and yes, we will, and yes, we will, the world is not coming to an end. Yes, it is not. Sure, that is exactly that, because some prophecies need to be fulfilled before these things happen. But where we are is actually telling that we are in the last days. You've heard it several years, but please watch the signs. It says that when it's coming to the end, these things will speed up. And as these pandemic viruses, earthquakes, and all sorts of things speeding up, those are the signs of birth pains. If you're a mother, when you see that you're contracting, you understand that you are ready. And that is exactly what we want you to know, that that's the beginning of the birth pains, the end to come one day. But we have to identify ourselves. This is God's story. This is your story. The greatest story of all is what is being unfolded to you. And it is about the relationship between you and your God. And today God wants to have an intimacy with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the voice or the expression or the message that was so loud and clear in the eyes of the Israelites and in the eyes of the people of Egypt all over that land was, let my people go. That was for a reason. This was so that his people will worship him. Let's take a reading from Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. It's a reading from the New American Standard Version. Any other version of the Bible is good enough. And God said, certainly I will be with you, and these people shall be, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. So God wants to bring deliverance for you. God wants to bring, salvation to you. God wants to bring protection for you, even in this time, so that we will worship him. Because remember, at the time, they could not worship God corporately. Even if there were a few who were worshiping God, they were doing it in their own corner. Now it is time for them to gather to God, to bring them together to worship Him. So if there is a reason why you and me need to be here and to worship God in His sanctuary, to worship God in His tabernacle, it is simply because that when God brings deliverance, He wants His people to worship Him. And He wants people to worship Him as individuals, but more so, when we worship Him as a corporate body, it is powerful. Hallelujah. And most of you have watched us on YouTube for the past 6 months, but it feels different. Isn't that right? Wherever you are in the world, it feels different listening to us right now. Thus, worshiping God became a distinguishing factor. Underline that word. Worshiping God became a distinguishing factor for a people redeemed and delivered by Him. In order that we become like the one we worship, because worship is powerful. So when we worship God as a corporate body, it becomes a distinguishing factor of a people redeemed by God. Hallelujah. So wherever in this world that you are watching me, wherever you are in this church, I want you to know that the distinguishing factor that you are a redeemed child of God is to worship Him in a corporate setting. That will define your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Why? Because when we worship Him, we become like the one we worship. That is a powerful statement. And worship is not only defined by the singing, but also by His presence. So each time we worship God, God makes sure that it's not just about singing. Sometimes people go to church or they go to assembly or wherever they are in their church and say, okay, let's sing some hymns, let's sing some songs. And if His presence is not in it, it is not worship. So we are here not only to sing song, we are here to worship God because we want His presence to come. Amen. Did you not feel something when we sing in these songs? That is incredible. Now let's take a reading from Psalm 22 verse 3 from the New King James Version of the Bible. It said, but you, meaning God, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel, or enthroned in the praises of your people. Literally, it means that worship clears the airwaves for God's presence to come. So when you worship, you clear the airwaves for God's presence to come. Because you want God to come and inhabit in your praises. You want God to come closer to you. So when you wake up in the morning and you some songs is on your heart, not the songs about, whoever the lead singer is out there in the society, because I'm so old-fashioned and so old, I don't even know what is the current song trending. But I cannot tell you that when you wake up and you are singing hymns, you are singing songs, you are actually opening your heart to God, and you are singing these songs, you are inviting the presence of God into your home. The very God. God says, I will come with my presence to inhabit in your presence. So your home is going to be habitated by God. Hallelujah. So when you wake up with a prayer, when you wake up with a song, when you wake up with a praise, you are saying, God, I'm inviting your presence because you are holy. Oh, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel, your people. So God is interested in passionate worship and not complacent worship, right? God is interested in passionate worship. Complacent worship does not bring His presence, but passionate worship does. You see, passionate worship is when you are genuine, when you are ready to let go, when your heart is in it. You are not doing that as a ritual. You are not doing that because somebody told you, but you woke up and you're thinking, oh God, you know what? Some people went to sleep, they couldn't get up, but I am up. Isn't it a point of celebration? It is a point of celebration. I mean, the Wednesday before the lockdown, I heard so clearly God telling me that no soul in this church, South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, will be lost to the coronavirus. And no soul has been lost to the coronavirus. And we give glory to God. And no soul is going to be. And I shared it with the church at Mega Hope on that Wednesday. And I shared it with the church on the Easter, Mothering Sunday. And I keep sharing it. Our service leader today also shared it with you. And God backed it up with His word. He said, Gideon, if you are doubting me, now read my word and see in Isaiah 41 verse 10. said, I'll be with you. Do not fear. Do not anxiously look about yourself, for I am your God. And I'll rescue with my victorious right hand. That means a hand of favor. That means a hand that is so powerful that nobody can actually get you out of his hand. And that is the God that we serve. And God, 6 months, 1 week, he's kept his word. And God is going to keep his word. And no soul is going to be lost through this. That is a word of prophecy. Hallelujah. Praise God. God surely wants his people to worship him passionately and be known by the presence. You see, when you worship God passionately, you will be known by the presence because you become God carrier. You become a God carrier. You carry his presence with you. So you go out and people look at you and they don't even know who you are. They look at you and think you are different. Not that probably your face looks different or not just simply because you have some horns or anything. It's just that you are different because you are carrying the presence of God. So worship makes God curious and we be known by the presence of God. So worshipers of God. So today we're here to worship God so that we'll be known by the presence of God upon our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, which is also a distinguishing factor. I like that word. It's my new English expression. A distinguishing factor. That was something that set you apart. Something that, I mean, you'll be known by. You'll be known to be a worshiper of God. Next week, when we come to the story of Ruth, you know that, I mean, some names mean worshiper of God or worker. And I'm just trailing it. I don't want to, take the wind out of your sail. And this presence is the very person of the Holy Spirit who will overshadow you when you worship and praise him. So when you become a God carrier and the presence of God is over you, he overshadows you, right? We learned in Matthew, and the Bible said, and Luke chapter 2 said, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. That means the very presence of God overshadowed her. So she really carried something wonderful. I want to give you another statement that will be helpful if you write it down. We are saved to burn. B-U-R-N. We are saved to burn. We are saved to burn with Holy Spirit fire. Because if the presence of God is with us, if the very presence of the Holy Spirit is with us, then we are saved to burn with fire. That anything that come your way, that want to disrupt your life, that want to distract you, that want to swear you down, that want to demoralize you, you are saved to burn. And therefore, you got to burn. The Holy Spirit fire in you should be able to burn that which, in the way, hallelujah. No problem should be able to stand in your face for too long. You are saved to burn because you are God carrier. And our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. You see, some people take God lightly, but I don't. Some people take God as and when they want, but I take God seriously. I was telling my wife that, look, for over 46 years or so, I've been a very steady Christian. I haven't backslidden. And growing and being matured each day. Not many people survive that. In the name of Jesus. So returning to God and worshiping him should be authentic. That's what I'm saying. So if we are here, wherever you are, if you are watching us, I say that when we are going to return to God, it should be authentic. Right? Genuine. That's another word for it. It's got to be genuine. You see, extreme worship is authentic worship, especially when we corporately praise him. In Psalm 150, that's the last psalm of the book, if you can pull it up for me, then people can follow. Psalm 150. You see, the only six verses. And it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Are we not in his sanctuary? So there is a condition for us to meet in the sanctuary. Some Christians say that take the church out of it and take it home. Yeah, before you thought about it, we've already thought about it. We have House of Peace. Extension of our church in homes. where we pray, where we worship, where we teach people, where we demonstrate the power of God, where there are testimonies. House of peace. So it's nothing new to us. What we are saying is that praise God in his sanctuary. So there's a place for people to praise God in his sanctuary. Why? Because instead of praise him in his mighty expanse, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Move on quickly, please. Praise him with trumpets, with a trumpet sound. We are not allowed to actually blow wind instrument right now, right? So we can't do that. Praise him with harps, yes, guitars. And now, praise him with timbres, tambourines. Praise him with dancing. Praise him with stringed instrument and pipes. We can't use pipes right now. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Guys, this is the word of God. It's against your word. I would take word of God anytime. Because I spent more than 46 years of my life believing this God, and I've seen his hand in my life. And I would take his word than to take your word. Because I don't know anyone more than I know this God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, extreme worship is authentic worship, especially when we corporately praise him. Now, David danced before the Lord with all his might. Right? And you can take a reference from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. And he danced with all his might. That was when he was returning to Jerusalem, into the temple to worship. For several years and months, the people of Israel could not worship God because of their circumstances. But then David decided to take the ark of God right back into the temple. So when you are returning to God, praise will go before you. Hallelujah. And the praise should be authentic. The praise should be extreme. Because all those things that we are reading, it's extreme. Some people say, I can't dance. Who told you that you can't dance? Well, you go to our stadiums, let them allow the people to come back, and you see them dancing. Even our very, very middle class, very serene cricket stuff, go there and see. Even rugby, go there and see. Even snooker, all these places are supposed to be nice, gentleman stuff. And they are dancing, they are praising, they are shouting. And David, it was so overwhelming for him that he said, I'm going to dance extremely before my God. And he danced extremely with God with all his might. So let's read some. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. Now let's move on to the verse 20 to 22. He said, but when David returned to bless his people, this time he's done all his dancing, he's gone to church, worship, now it's time for him to bless his people, giving the benediction. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of all his servants. Even the maid servant, as one of the foolish ones, shamelessly uncovered himself. That's Saul's daughter, literally insulting the pastor of Israel, the king of Israel, the prophet of Israel, the musician or the worship director of Israel, insulting that you dance, you praise God, and you dance so much that after you dance so much, right? Oh. Hasina be watching me because Hasina said anytime I dance like I'm dancing soca. Sorry. So I remembered and I thought I should stop. Nothing wrong with that, Clint. Thank you. Right. So Michal, David danced until his outer garments fell off. You see, you know, they throw something like that on their shoulders. And it fell off. I said, hang on a minute. I don't have time to take that garment. I'm praising God because this God is wonderful. I'm praising God because of his presence. The ark of God was with me. His presence was with me. I'm going to praise him regardless of what someone says. He wasn't naked. He had something on. But this woman said, you dance and you uncovered yourself and everybody was looking at you. You're worse than the maid servants in the house and you are being so foolish. And you were not even ashamed to uncover yourself. Move on. There are a few verses. So David said to Michal. Remember, Michal is King Saul's daughter. That is the king before David. The king that God rejected because he never learned to have a relationship with God, personal relationship. He didn't learn to have intimacy with God. It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. Hallelujah. Move on to the next verse. And I will be more lightly esteemed. In some places it says, I'll be even more crazy. Ivy Moore dance crazy. If that was crazy enough, you haven't seen nothing yet. That's what David was saying. So I'll be more lightly esteemed than this. NIV is very, ASBS is very nice. But some translation, New King James Version, other things say something different. I mean, slightly different. They say, I'll be crazier than this. See, I'll be lightly esteemed than this and will be humble in my own eyes, but with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, I don't regard them. I don't even want to, and I'll just do what God wants. This is incredible. You see, now let's read 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 23. I didn't plan to spend that much time here, but let's move on. It said, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. You see, she resented extreme worship. She resented the people going back to the sanctuary to worship God. She resented the people going back to worship God in the place that he has appointed. She was more interested in criticizing David. He was more interested in criticizing what was going on. But David knew that there was a place that he had to go and worship God. Hallelujah. And because of that, I would say barrenness is the natural result of despised worship. Write that one down. Barrenness is the natural result of despised worship. If you despise people who want to worship God, you become barren. Your barrenness may not be physical, not having a child like she was. It could be a blockade in your life or some sort, and you'll not be able to move on because you are barren. Right? Barrenness is a natural result of despised worship. The people of Israel got to the promised land, all right, but the sad part of this story is once they got there and started settling, they forgot about God again. And the cloud, which is the presence of God, and the fire, which is the Holy Spirit, lifted from them. You see, a lot of people during this pandemic, they were connecting to God. And as soon as it is being lifted, you see that they have forgotten about God. As soon as these people got into the promised land and life was so easy, because God said, it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be a land that you find, there will be a lot of sweetness for you, pockets of sweetness for you, and an expanse of land to graze your goats and your sheep and your cattle so that you can have the milk to have. So that is it. So they didn't go and find a river full of milk or a river full of, a garden full of honey. No. There were dates on that land that tasted so sweet like honey. So God did not lie to them. A land flowing with milk and honey. I'm telling you this because I know the Bible reasonably well. That's why I'm saying that. And I'm also a walk through the Bible instructor. I take people, colleges, seminaries, individuals, churches through the Bible so that they can understand the Bible God story. So I'm just trying to, borrow these expressions to let you know. So, when they forgot about God, the Holy Spirit lifted. The presence of God lifted. Now they were not the same people who were undefeatable. They were not the same people who were victorious. They were not the same people who were walking in miracles. They were not anymore because they have disconnected from the assembly of God. You see, so when the Holy Spirit is absent from your life, you cannot assume God's protection. You cannot assume his covering. You cannot assume his provision and live in the best of the land to realize your redemption and your destiny. You cannot realize what God has prepared for you If you allow the Holy Spirit to lift, God is not going to sit down and play games with you. If you disconnect, His Spirit will lift. This brings us, where am I now? The people redeemed by God came under oppression by the nations around them. When the Holy Spirit lifted and when His presence lifted, they were oppressed by the kingdoms around them. Oppressed means that the nations around them actually surrounded them. In fact, in some cases, they actually had a blockade of them. They cannot travel, they can't go anywhere. And whenever they grow their crops, they will come and eat it. When it is ready for harvest, they will bring their camels, they will bring their combined harvesters and come and eat it all, like the Midianites did to the Israelites. And for some, like the Moabites, they also came to oppress them. And the Moabites, they will not even wait for it to grow. When your plant is very young and tender, they will come and destroy it. And how many times that you have started something, you started a project, and you wanted to get on, and suddenly something come and take it away. How many times have you worked so hard, and at the point that you have to reap the benefits, something goes away? When the Holy Spirit lifts, you are vulnerable to oppression. And I just want you to know, guys, that some of you have been connecting to this church from so many countries, from the Caribbean, from Africa, from Europe, from mainland Britain, and from, of course, you guys in South Street Baptist Church, been connecting with us all this while, either on YouTube or during the week on Zoom. If you want to continue connecting with us, you are welcome to do so. If it's on Zoom, send an email to our church. Contact us and we'll send you the login so that you can join us. Powerful stuff happen over there. Right, so let me press on so that I can finish. How many minutes have I got? Okay, so this brings us to our final story, right? It was during this period, right, that God raised up judges to bring the minds and hearts of the people of Israel back to God. The period of the judges lasted 400 years when they had no king. And one of such judges was called Gideon, my namesake. This brings us here. And during that time, there was another story playing up. There was a lady called Naomi and her husband Elimelech. They moved from Israel because the land was hard. They were meeting it hard. There was no food in the land of Israel. And they lived in Bethlehem, meaning the city of bread. So they moved from that place to Moab, the people who were just oppressing them because they had food. They went to their country to be sojourners. And because the presence of God has left, there was no provision in the city of bread. Bethlehem means city of bread. You see, you are a child of God, and where you are, there's got to be provision for you at all times. Like I've been preaching, that in Goshen, God provided for His people, and they prospered. Even they could leave their children and their resources at home and go and bury Jacob all the way in Canaan. And the Bible said that God protected His children. This is incredible. The same God that we serve. So this is God's story. The God's story in relationship to His children. God's story is your story. And God is going to work a miracle in your life today. Hallelujah. So Naomi and the husband moved into this land. I will tell you the details next week. So let me move on very quickly. However, during the time that Naomi and the rest moved, they were just wandering, recorded in the Bible that they moved. But the majority of them were still in the land of Israel that God has given to them, or the land of Canaan. However, God visited His people again during this pandemic period. And this time, there was Gideon. And when the people cried out to God, God appeared to Gideon and said, make yourself available. So you can see the second time, the people are crying out to God when they came under pressure. So you can see that when things like that come repeated in the Bible, it is saying, take note, for this is important. So you and me need to cry out to God whenever we come in a pandemic situation, or we come against difficulties, or we feel oppressed, or when we feel that the Spirit of God has lifted from us. We have to return to God by crying out to Him. Because God is always going to release a deliverer. And this time it's Gideon. Last time it's Moses. It was Moses. And when Gideon made himself available, the Bible tells us he obeyed God's word and he was filled with the Spirit. Remember, I said the Spirit lifts. And this time he was filled because he was complaining. He said, God, did you not say, where are the miracles that we've been talking about? We hear that our fathers went through the Red Sea. We hear that you provided for them on the desert. We hear that you gave them meat to eat when they were fed up eating the same food. We know that, God, you were there and you destroyed all our enemies on the way, and we didn't know how to fight. But then you were able to fight for us. When they were only teenagers going to the promised land, you kept watch with us and you took us to the promised land. And at that time, only a few people were over 20 years old. Imagine having 2 to 3 million people who are less than 20 years old. How can they live their lives? It takes God to help them. And the older ones among them need to teach the young ones. So in this church, you see that these young people, I don't know how old Aaron is, probably 11 or so years, alhamdulillah, about 13 or so, maybe less. I mean, these are the guys who are behind some of these things that we are doing today. And I thank God and I salute all of you who are seriously giving your life to God and then helping us. So, what can I say? Let's read Judges chapter 6, verse 34. And that is my last but one Bible verse that I'm going to quote. It says, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abizarites were called together or gathered to him, and they followed him. Somebody need to cry out. Somebody need to rise up. Somebody need to rally the troop and say, the Spirit of God is upon me again. So when God returned to you and he put his Spirit upon you, make sure that you rally your family together. Make sure that you talk to them together. Don't leave them behind. I said, we are in the last days. And one of these days, the clock is going to stop. And when the clock stops, where will you be and where will your family be? I want my family to be with me. Don't you? Because let us not wait for them to die. When they die, we wish, oh God, we wish you had done better. Why don't you do better for them while they live? Give them Jesus. Give them the Spirit of God again. Hallelujah. Gideon therefore became a God carrier among the people of Israel. The presence of God had returned, and so was bread in Bethlehem. So redemption was once again returned and available to whomever is determined and hungry enough for God. Wherever someone chooses to obey God and carries his presence, salvation and redemption comes to that place, and the atmosphere changes. Because Gideon did that, the atmosphere changed in Israel. We need a new understanding of the Word of God. That means we need revelation of the Word of God and obey it. Revelation that does not lead us to obey. The revelation that does not lead us to obey the Word of God is religion. Right? So if you read the Bible and it doesn't move you to obey, that means you are religious. It doesn't matter whether you go to church as much as you do. My last Bible verse and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God wants us to obey his word, to experience his protection, his deliverance, and his redemption. Hallelujah. Redemption is buying back, bringing you back to God, that which is lost, reinstating that which has lost its dignity so that it will be returned to its original state or intent or place of destination. So the question is, where are you right now in this salvation and redemption story? Where are you right now in this salvation and redemption story? Where are you right now? What action will you take today, having heard the word of God? What action are you going to take? So today, before I step off of the stage, the worship people are going to sing for us. They're going to minister to us. We're coming to the end of our story. Brahma will try and give you some 10 minutes. We're going to, minister the word of God to us through songs.